reading to you from the 18th chapter of Luke in the 9th verse. And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, 1 year out of God called me to preach. Now look, I've been in full-time evangelism. I've been on radio for 37 years. I've also did TV work, and I've pastored. But nothing in this world brings joy to my heart like going to prison. You say, Cecil, come on. These people are evil. They're wicked. That's right. And so are you, and so was I. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I look at their eyes. I look at a people that are lost, doomed, and damned. Oh, there's Christians and people going to prison who are Christians. They just fall too far off. But anyway, when I see those men and women give their hearts to Christ and watch them grow in the Lord, it thrills my heart. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I've labeled this just one word, simple word, trust, although it's not a simple word. Listen to me. I want to talk to you about the warnings concerning trusting in people. In Psalms 118:9, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses. Well, friends, you know, we look up to people, we look up to wealthy people who we feel that we can trust them. You know, our banks today, people are trusting in banks, and they are failing. Try to go down and get a loan. I don't care how good your credit is. Go down and try to get a loan. You know, when I was in business many years ago, I remember I needed $25,000. Now, I'd been banking at this bank for years, and I banked millions of dollars in that bank. Now, get this. I walked in one day and I told one of the loan managers I needed to get $25,000. He didn't even know who I was until he looked it up. Didn't know who I was. I walked in there. They've seen me 1,000 times. Didn't know who I was. And you know what? When I told them I needed $25,000, what they told me? Well, Mr. Moore, we're going to have to take a second on your house. After all these years of doing business, all of a sudden I had to put my house up for this $25,000. Don't trust in banks, and surely don't trust man. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will never fail. No, you won't. It said in Isaiah 2:22, "Stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed?" Again, looking up to those who are rich. You know what? Until I got my own business and started being hugely successful financially, I was afraid of rich people. I sure was. But it don't bother me to go to a millionaire today or a banker. Doesn't scare me a bit. Of course, I'll have to tell the truth now. Basically, I am a coward. Yes, I am. Now, I've been serving the Lord for 55 years, but I get afraid just like everybody else. And the only reason I'm afraid is because I'm afraid I'm going to trust in my own ability to witness. You trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind. That's it. When you're going out to witness to a person, did you know He is going to give you the words that you are supposed to say. And he's going to work on that person before you see him. Trust me, God said to just trust on the Lord and he'll give you what you need. You know what's wrong with soul winning? People think because you don't know everything there is about the Bible, you shouldn't be doing it. And I'll guarantee you, I don't know everything that's in this Bible. You could ask me questions about this Bible and I'd look stupid and look right in your face. I don't know the answer. Nor does any great, and I'm not great, but great Bible scholars don't know all the answers to the life's problem. The Bible is self-explanatory. But if the Spirit of God doesn't live in your heart, you won't be able to understand it. Now, let me give you an example. I think I told this not so long ago, but after my wife and I, after we joined the church, my wife was not saved. She told the preacher she was saved, and she really thought she was. She was saved in the head, not the heart. Well, a head salvation won't get you into heaven, sweet one. No, you must be born again. But anyway, we both got baptized together, and we were so happy and all this. And then shortly after that, she gave her heart to Christ and was born again. Well, she was not scripturally baptized. She sure wasn't, because she went down a sinner and came up a sinner. And she told me, she said, you know, Cecil, I think I ought to be baptized again. I said, you certainly should, because you've never been baptized. But, I know you've never been baptized scripturally. Well, she said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till you become a pastor of a church, and then I'll let you do it. I said, don't you dare put me in front of God. Well, when I was going to Bible College, Riverside, California, she got under conviction, and she decided to be baptized. Now, here's what she told me, beloved, and I want you to think about this, to let you know that baptism is an act of obedience. It will not save you, but it is an act of obedience. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to rise to walk in the newness of life. She said, Cecil, you know what? I never could understand. I guess she'd been a Christian a little over maybe a year and a half. She said, I could never understand why I could not fully understand the Bible. Now that I'm baptized, she said, the scriptures just bingo open right up to me. Why? Because she had done the act of obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of the commandments is, after you're saved, born again, you need to be baptized. You should join a local New Testament, Bible-believing, Christ-honoring church. Well, in Isaiah 31:1, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt with help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because there are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Hey, listen. Pharaoh had a pretty good-sized army. He had some wonderful horses and he had chariots. Well, the Israelites were scared to death of him because they had all the power, but they shouldn't be trusting that. They should have been trusting in the Lord. Well, they took a terrible beating. They were making brick and they were being beaten and abused. And, of course, you know, one day God looked down and saw his people and saw their heartaches. And he said, I'm going to have to call Moses to go down there and take those people out of that terrible place and take them to the land of milk and honey. Oh, friends, listen. God loves you tonight. You say, Cecil, I don't believe that. I can't put my trust in him. Well, I'm here to tell you what I would do if I were you. Now, listen to me. Please listen to me. If I were you and you don't believe and you are an unbeliever, would you just bow your head and say, God, if you're up there, help me to believe. Help me to trust Jesus. Help me to recognize the fact that I am a sinner. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you know, friends, did you know that you draw wages when you're a lost sinner? Yes, sir. That's right. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Did you know, friends, one time I received a phone call from a lady. She knew I was a pastor of this church out in Corbett. And she said, Preacher, I'm looking for a Rosicrucian church. Well, the Rosicrucian church is a cult. And they believe you come back as a worm or an animal or whatever. And I told her, I said, listen, ma'am, could I tell you about Jesus? And she didn't want me to talk to her about Jesus, but I did anyway. She said, oh, thank you anyway. Now, let me tell you what happened the other day, the next day. She had a balcony and a porch. And she used to shake her rugs over the side of that balcony. And did you know what happened that day? She leaned against the balcony, and the fence broke, and she fell 15 feet and landed on a picket fence, and the fence impaled her body. She died. The Bible said that it's appointed a man once to die, but the judgment thereafter. She did not believe that Jesus Christ. She trusted in a church to get her into heaven. But a church can't get you into heaven. Only Jesus can get you into heaven. Mary can't get you into heaven. Nobody can get you into heaven except Jesus. How do I know that's true? John 3:16. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. We need to trust, believe on Jesus, and we can have eternal life. I've asked you this question. Do you trust your wife? You said, sure I do. Do you trust your husband? Sure I do. Let me ask you, or tell you, I should say. One day my wife and I was flying to Tokyo. We left San Francisco. Great big old DC, C-47. The biggest one they got at that time. I walked onto that plane fully trusting that pilot was going to get us there safe, that these four engines would not fail, but they'd get us there. I fully trusted, but I could have sure been wrong. That pilot could have did something wrong, or those motors could have failed, and we could have crashed out there in the Pacific. It's better to put your trust in the Lord and not in man. Well, it says in Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from God. There's a lot of people today who are successful. You've heard them say, well, they come up from nothing. And I know my brother was become a millionaire overnight. He certainly did. He was lost as a goose in the grass. And I prayed for that rascal for 27 years to be saved. Well, one time I was preaching a funeral in the Dalles, and Mrs. Ree had passed on, and I'd lived with her and her son after my mom had died. Two or three times I'd lived with him. And I had the privilege of sending her gospel tapes. I sent her a playback machine. And she listened to those tapes day after day after day. Did you know one time she had a stroke or a heart attack? She went to the hospital there in the Dalles. And the last thing she said to those nurses and her family, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. What happened? She was listening to these tapes about Jesus. And she put her trust in Christ, and what a joy it was to bury her and preach and tell people where she went, spend eternity. But I stayed on at my brother that night, and I started witnessing to him, and he got mad. He said, I'll tell you, Cease, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I'd like to believe I can go out and get drunk, do whatever I wanted to do, and then go down and get someone to give them a few bucks and have them forgive me. I said, boy, Will, that's a good one to live by, but sure don't die by it. Because I said, you sure won't get into heaven that way. Well, look what it says here in Job 31:24. I have put my confidence in gold and call fine gold my trust. If I have gloated because my wealth was great and because my hand was secure as much. Now let me tell you, that too would have been an iniquity, calling for judgment, for I would have denied the God above. Listen, Job was a very wealthy, successful man. Lots of money, lots of camels, lots of sheep, bunch of kids. One day Satan come up to God and said, "Hey, did you know why Job loves you?" And the Lord said, "Yeah, I know why he loves me." "No, you don't. I'll tell you why he loves you, because you made him one filthy rich man. Now, if you let me kill his camels and his sheep and his children, you watch him and see what he does." Well, God had to accept that challenge because he knew Job's heart. Well, sure enough, but he did tell Job one thing. He said, "You can't take his life because his life is mine. He belongs to me." Well, so sure enough, his camels were killed, his sheep were killed, his kids all died. And he come down with the worst case of boils a man could have. Now, if you've never had a boil, you do not know the pain. I have. I had a boil on my nose. My nose was the size of... Whew, but I was in pain. Well, anyway, my throat's beginning to act up again. I don't have any lemonade in my studio. Anyway, so... His friends turned against him. They said, "Boy, Job, you must have done something bad to have this come upon you." Job didn't do anything bad. No, he didn't. Job trusted the Lord. And it says in Psalm 52:7, "Behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong and evil." Well, let me tell you what, friends. You recall the rich man that had an abundant crop. My stars, did he ever have a bumper crop. Guess what happened? Well, his barns couldn't hold all of his stuff. And so he said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down all those barns, and then I'm going to build bigger ones, fill them up, sit back, eat, drink, and be merry." Well, did you know what happened? But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?" You know, I know people, yes I do, spend all their life saving money, saving money, saving money. So when they die, their kids would have plenty. That's a bunch of hooey. It's good to save money. Sure, I'm not against saving money. But to give, just to give to your children, what if they take that money and go out and curse God? What if they turn their back on God? Did you do a right investment? This man thought he could sit back, take ease, sit back and just have a eat, drink, and be merry. Wow, he should have never said that. But he did. And he died. Oh, they said, "Who's going to have all this stuff that you left? You fool." Hey, friends, I'm going to tell you what. When God calls you a fool, you're in a whole heap of hurt. Oh, yeah. Now, it says in 1 Titus 6:17, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." Well, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Well, are you who are you trusting right now? Let me ask this. Are you trusting your baptism to get you into heaven? Write it off. Are you trusting your church membership to get you into heaven? Write it off. Are you trusting in your own works that you've done, lived a good life? It says in Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could go up to stand before old Peter and say, Peter, I've lived a good life, I've done what I've loved my wife and kids, and I've done this, and he's going to say, be gone, ye cursed worker of iniquity. I never knew you. God's going to say that to you if you don't know Jesus, because you're trusting in riches, you're trusting in good works, you're trusting in church membership, you're trusting in baptism and all these things. They're important to have a church. They're important to be baptized. They're important to take a Lord's Supper. But that's not going to get you into heaven. Ye must, I'll overemphasize this 100,000 times, ye must be born again. Now look it. When I was a lost alcoholic, I used to think, I was concerned about God. I sure was. My parents were Christians, but I wasn't a Christian, and I was a head believer. I was never an atheist. No, I can't say that. I believed there was a God up there, but you see difference? Friends, there's a difference between head and heart. You can believe all these things, but the devil believe all these things about God and fear and trembling. But when you put your trust in the Lord and he writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life, you have the blessed assurance that you're going to go to heaven. That's what the Bible said. This one is said, you have plowed in wickedness, you have reaped injustice, you have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your ways, in your numerous warriors. That's what it said. But Peter answered and said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Wow, 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 wow. Peter, you rascal, you can't believe that. Well, the Lord said, and the cock crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. Peter said, not me, Lord. But when the cock crowed the 3rd time, old Peter wept because he remembered what the Lord had said. Even at the fire, when they were crucifying Jesus, and they said, well, hey, that guy there belongs to that Lord Jesus we cut up and we hung on the cross. Oh, no, I didn't. He even cursed. He didn't want him to think he was a Christian. Well, in Luke 18:9, and he also told his parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Well, remember when the two went into the temple to pray, one said, I do this, I do that. And he told God all the things that he'd done. He'd even tithed. But I'm so glad I'm not like that stinker that's standing over there. And that old stinker publican, he smote his breast. And he couldn't even look up. And he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, this man went away justified because he trusted in the Lord. Let me ask you, do you trust Jesus tonight? Have you been born again? Do you know where you're going to go when you die? It's so important, friends. I'm not trying to be funny, but, oh, I want you to know that you can be saved tonight. You certainly can. You can ask Jesus in and he'll save you. If you repent, that means you're sorry, godly sorry for your sins, and are willing to turn your back on the old way of life. The morning I was saved, I knew when I asked Jesus to come into my heart that he had delivered me immediately from alcoholism. And he did. Praise God, he did. And I give him all the glory, the praise, and the honor for it, because he did it all. All I did was let him. Well, friends, if you don't know Jesus tonight, I want you to bow your head to me right now. I want you to call out to him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I am a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. Tonight, Lord, I'm giving all that up, and I'm inviting you into my heart to save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friend, if you did that, prayed that prayer, call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I've been doing this for 37 years, begging and inviting people to put their trust in Jesus. And I do not know how many thousands, I do not know, but I do know God knows, because he's the one who saves me. I can't save you. I couldn't save myself. So anyway, friends, I'd like to hear from you tonight. If you can't afford to call, call Collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534.
Praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Your notes are much sweeter than mine, and your words have reason and rhyme, and your song will stand through all time. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. I do pray that you'll trust the Lord. And if you don't trust Him tonight, call me and let me help you. I know that you're going through a battle and a devil's trying to take you straight to a burning hell. But don't let him take you there. You can be saved tonight. You can know Jesus. He'll change your life. He sure will. Oh, He changed my life, sobered me up, and delivered me from the curse of alcohol. I thank Him for it. Well, friends, until this time next week, would you please continue to pray for me and my wife and our health, and pray that we'll be able to be a blessing in prison and rescue missions. So just be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real good.